Well, the need for job creation is undoubtedly the greatest priority for all spheres of government and, in fact, all spheres of South African society right now, with South Africa showing one of the highest unemployment rates in the world. Despite what we saw recently, which was a drop in unemployment released by StatsSA, a small drop from the record high of 35.3% in the fourth quarter to 34.5% in the first quarter of this year. And it's certainly cold comfort to the millions across the country who are desperate to earn a living of some kind to feed themselves and their families. And it also underlines the youth unemployment crisis the country is in the throes of, with unemployment highest amongst those aged 15 to 24 years at 63.9%, and then at 42.1% for those aged 25 to 34. Now, one has to wonder about the role of local government in all of this, considering what outgoing National Treasury Director General Dondo Mogajani said as he handed over the reins, admitting that with about 170 of the country's 257 municipalities in financial distress, that the Treasury could no longer cope with the extent of the crisis. Now, Nosipho Hlatswayo is Executive Manager for Programs at the South African Cities Network, which really has a look at the big metros here. And Nosipho, great to have you on the show. You've got your finger on the pulse of these issues. Why should job creation be the number one priority of city managers and all spheres of government at the moment?
Thanks, Michael. Job creation should be the number one priority for everyone in government, not just city managers, for simple reasons. When people are employed, it means that they are able to sustain themselves. So high unemployment means that you have more and more people who cannot sustain themselves, who then will need to depend on the state for just livability, you know, making ends meet day to day. And some of them, unfortunately, might not have access to those state-funded opportunities for many reasons. So when we have more people who are employed, we're reducing the people that are at risk, social risk and economic risk. And that is why it is important that not only governments but all of society is interested in this pandemic of unemployment that we are seeing in South Africa.
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because we know the state of local government is really poor at the moment. It's slightly better in the country's big metro cities, but you say that cities are key drivers of job creation. How can our cities contribute to winning this war against joblessness and poverty?
Cities, by their own nature of drawing the large number of populations towards them, present opportunities and challenges. So you make a comparison between smaller towns and then metropolitan municipalities or cities. There is a reason why people come to cities, because there are more economic activities in those cities, and people leave smaller towns because those do not have as many opportunities. Now, when you ask the question that says, how can our cities contribute to winning the war against joblessness and poverty, the first thing that we must acknowledge, I think, is that there will forever be inequality in cities, and the responsibility of everyone, governments, businesses, academia, is to make sure that that inequality is reduced. Now, how do you go about reducing that inequality? For city governments and all spheres of government as well, it's for them, number one, to make sure that the conditions for economic growth and employment are created. While these spheres of government might not they themselves create jobs, but they need to create conducive environment for job to take place. And by that I mean, if a business wants to invest in a particular city, it's the responsibility of the city to make sure that it is easy for one to come and invest there. The second thing is that they can also support some of the sectors that are performing very well, which are or which have a potential of absorbing the high labor, particularly around the semi-skilled and unskilled, because that's where we find the large population of unskilled workers being unskilled and semi-skilled workers. So those are just two of the many things that cities can do which are within their own control.
Absolutely, it's like running your own business as a city manager to create those conducive environments to attract those businesses to come and invest, to set up their factories and shops, so that they can and start employing the scores of South Africans who are flocking to our cities, hoping for a better life. And, you know, the fact remains that South Africa still has one of the highest unemployment figures in the world, if not the highest. Now, if you look at the latest State of the Cities report, it really reflects unacceptably high unemployment figures in every single metro. Which municipalities have the highest unemployment figures here, and why, if you try and unpack the underlying reasons?
So without going to the exact numbers, the trends are showing that, you know, traditionally or expectedly, your larger cities like the city of Johannesburg, you know, and eThekwini and Cape Town are suffering from high unemployment rates. In fact, we have seen the total number of people, while people who were employed increased to 14.9 million in the first quarter of 2022 and unemployment reducing. But we're seeing a whole lot of people who are discouraged from seeking jobs. I mean, when you say in just one quarter, 54,000 people said, I'm giving up, I'm no longer going to look for a job, because for the past period, I've been looking for a job and I'm not getting it. And it's not surprising that your big cities or your metros have got the highest numbers of unemployed people for a few reasons. One, they carry the largest population, but number two, the competition among job seekers is even higher. Anecdotally, I can tell you that we're finding people that some of them are very qualified who are taking lower ranking jobs just so that they can get their foot into the job market, which tells you how dire the situation is. We are just as a country not creating enough jobs to absorb the number of people that we train, the people that are graduating. And it means that if you don't have any skill whatsoever or any form of training, then the market, you are the most vulnerable when it comes to this. So yes, it is the big metropolitan municipalities that have got those highest numbers. But as I said, there's high competition, and that's the activities of the economy, that's where they're concentrated as well. So there are no surprises there.
Now, obviously, with June being Youth Month and that youth unemployment rate being at a staggering 63%, we really need to focus our attention, all of us collectively across society, on this youth unemployment crisis in the country. What, in your view, can be done to turn this around from a city level?
There's a lot that can be done. I think I've indicated earlier on about cities being creating a conducive environment for investment to take place. But maybe before we even go to what they can do, just to paint a picture of how bad it is when it comes to youth unemployment. I mean, we're looking at people that are between the ages of 15 and 34. About 63.9% of 15 to 24-year-olds who are not employed, and 42.1% of people who are 25 to 34. Maybe let's focus on the 25 to 34-year-olds. 42.1% of those are unemployed. So here we're talking about people who finished matric. Some of them might have finished even varsity. And we're saying close to 4 in 10 people of those are not employed. And these are people that, one, they've got the energy and the vigor, and the market should be absorbing them, all things being equal. And it means that we are losing an opportunity of having a young labor force, which could potentially sustain our economy for the longest time by not absorbing them into the market. And when they are unemployed, what then happens is that they are then vulnerable to some of the social ills. And it is no wonder that when you look at the unemployment figures and then you look at all other reports around the state of urban crime, and you look at abuse and such things, that those things are becoming prevalent, and some perpetrators fall within those categories. So what cities can really do is to really focus on youth targeted initiatives. Now, here, I need to be clear. Cities are not at the heart, are not job creators, but they facilitate job creation.
Yes.
So forming partnerships with businesses, with academia, to come up with clear programs which have clear outcomes in terms of numbers, to say, let's focus on young people and develop pathways in which young people can be entrance into these programs, but get them out of those programs. So an exit strategy, so that you create you remove the dependency from state facilitated job creation programs into the business sector, which is supposed to be employing these young people. So there is that partnership that is needed in that front.
And, you know, when I hear you speak about that, I'm reminded of the Tsimolokong precinct in Bromfontein, which is a partnership between academia, WITS. There was some business involvement, as I recall, IBM and Telkom, and just really focusing on the skills that young people bring to the table, often digital skills. These IT kind of skills are the ones that are in demand. There's a war for talent. If you've got the right skills, you'll be snapped up in the banking and retail sectors. So cities can play a conducive, catalytic role here in helping creating a partnership where we can develop these skills amongst our youth by partnering with business, creating maybe access to services at a better rate. How do you see that actually playing out in practice?
Yes, and you are very correct. And we've got very good examples, including in the city of Johannesburg, in the city of Cape Town, eThekwini, for an example, where they've really focused on digital skills and trained young people. Now, when young people have been trained through those partnerships, and when it's done through partnership with academia and business, it's always encouraged. But then what happens once those young people have exited the program? They've been trained now. Is the market able to absorb them? And this is where I also say that there's a need for everyone to realize that if you are employed or you employ someone, if you think that the digital economy does not relate to you, you are really misleading yourself. There's an opportunity for us to really absorb those that are already that have already gone through these programs. And I think cities in particular, if you look at small things like data management within cities, which can assist them to make better decisions by making sure that that data is stored, that it is analyzed, it is cleaned, and then it can be turned into knowledge to assist with decision making. Those are the things that cities need to look at instead of just focusing on the IT element. But how do you then utilize data and train young people to assist you in the journey? I'm all for saying that cities need to be data aware and utilize the skills that have already been developed in that sector, focusing on young people. Well, just as an example, but all businesses can do the same as well.
Absolutely. And I think what you raise there is such an important point, because it's an all of society response and a whole of government response. It's not just reliant on one or two of the social actors. Well, I certainly hope that the Youth Day events coming up on Thursday really emphasize and highlight the plight of the unemployed youth. That was Nasipho Klatswayo, who's executive manager for programs at South African Cities Network. They produce a fantastic report on the state of South Africa's cities. It's called the State of the Cities Report. And head on down onto the website and download a copy if you want to get involved in this space. We're certainly playing a very active role and have been with the Youth Employment Service, because it is all of our responsibility in South Africa to tackle the ticking youth unemployment time bomb. You're listening to Hot Business.